I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're going to talk with Brian Baldinger coming up, guys. Also, our general manager for the Atlanta Braves, Alex Anthopoulos, AA, says that they will increase the payroll. And it's something Mike and I will get into. You know, watching the Manny Machado antics last night, and he's had a couple of incidents in this series already. You know, that is a guy I know some people want. Just you go, man, he can play. He can. I don't want that stuff. I don't need that stuff. And some of you might say, well, Bryce Harper's the same guy. No, Bryce Harper has just been damn good. And he's beating up on the Braves, and that's a guy that I think helps us much more than Manny Machado.
Yeah, Bryce might mean mug after a strikeout and get at it with the ump, but I don't remember ever seeing him trying to take out a first baseman going down the line. If that happened, you can remind me. I don't remember that one. Look, Machado is a tremendous talent, but you see him in the press conference. He's just got that stupid look on his face, Carl. There's no other way to describe it. Just that stupid, who, me? I don't know. I'm not a Charlie Hustle guy. I'm not trying to get – okay, so you admitted you were loafing it down the base paths, which actually compounds you trying to take out the first baseman because there truly was no need for you to step on the bag at that point because you were out by 5 feet.
He also has a bunch of questionable slides. That has happened in his career. So we're just laying it out for
He's
you.
He's going up with his hands high like Team America World Police. Remember that, Craig? Remember the signal? That's the way he's been going into second base and taking guys out.
We will talk more about what Alex Anthopoulos had to say coming up in 15 minutes. We're going to talk with Brian Baldinger here on our Blitz segment, which is brought to you by Jim Ellis Kia of Kennesaw, guys. And make sure you go see him. 1221 Auto Park Drive in beautiful Kennesaw. But as we get ready for the Giants game, there's a lot of other stuff going on in and around the National Football League. But, Mike, here we are again, you know, talking about the standings. And you've been bringing this up, talking about how jumbled the NFC is, right?
Right.
When you start looking at things. And, you know, we brought this up. Falcons 2-4, but we are ahead in our division because we're 2-1. And that puts us atop the division right now with still plenty of division games left. But, you know, this is certainly not over when you look at the East 3-2, 3-3, 3-3. I mean, there's a lot of teams right now at 3-2. Carolina's at 3-2. I mean, no one's running away with this thing except the Rams.
I know. I saw this earlier, and I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. We are actually, with the Giants, locked at 12-12 all time. You know, I think the Falcons' first win came at Yankee Stadium back in the day in 66. But anywho, the last time we played them, we beat them 24-20. That was in the 15 year. That was before the offensive line went pfft. Remember, that's when the center was still adequate. But we've got a pretty good run. We smoked the Giants here 34-0 back in 2012, the year we went to the NFC Championship.
Brian Baldinger joins us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline. And, Baldy, before we get into some other Falcon stuff, I saw your breakdown of what the block that Tevin Coleman had on a blitz in our last game. And I think a lot of Falcon fans saw that, and they were wowed by it. But what have you seen from Coleman that has impressed you? Because now we know we're without Devontae Freeman for the rest of the season, or at least until the end of the year.
Well, I mean, you know, one thing you're always going to get from Tevin Coleman is you're going to get great speed and, you know, a real home run hitter and a guy that catches the ball really well. I mean, getting a real versatile back. But, you know, I mean, blitz pickup is important. And, you know, teams are trying to figure out new ways to catch the quarterback. They're not going to let Matt Ryan sit back there or Drew Brees or, you know, Judge, I'm not going to let these elite quarterbacks sit back there and, you know, and try to pick you apart because they will. So the rules are all made for the offense. So, you know, you got to find different ways, and you better have a back that can, you know, protect your quarterback when they want to overload a protection and blitz you like that. You know, it just kind of jumped out at me because I don't see very many backs just splattering, you know, a guy like Levante David, who's a really good player. You just don't see that very often. So, you know, I just caught my eye and thought it'd be something everybody should kind of take a look at.
Yeah, we were on it on Monday talking about it because he was actually hammer and not nail in that pass protection. You're right. Brian Baldinger with his guys. He's called Falcon games in preseason 4 as well. And, of course, you see him all over TV. He joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. What about, like, the Giants doing some of the stuff the Steelers did? Their base is a 3-4, but do they have the horses to kind of come at us with some of the blitzes the Steelers did?
Well, I mean, you know, they've got 2 weeks to get ready. They're basically 2 weeks to get ready for this. They play the Thursday night game, so they've been off for 10 days. So, You know, it's like a mini bye week for teams, so they're going to look at everything that has worked and hasn't worked. The big thing, you know, in the last game is they got Olivier Vernon back, and he's a very good football player, and he's the best pass rusher. And when you at least get one of those guys, you have to account for him, and they do move him around. But, you know, they play with a lot of different linebackers and a lot of different sets. You'll see Landon Collins or safety all over the place. So they're going to give, you know, they're going to give Matt Ryan his share of work pre-snap to try and, you know, get him to think as much as possible before the snap.
Baldy, is Eli done, in your opinion? A lot of people saying, you know, he shouldn't have come back. Look at what's going on. How do you assess what you've seen with Eli Manning?
Well, I mean, you know, in the game that they won, they went down to Houston, and he missed four passes the whole day. He was almost perfect. And, you know, it was about as good a performance as anybody's seen this year from any quarterback. And he had a good day offensively. Now, he has not been protected well. He has missed a number of throws that you expect quarterbacks to make. But I'm not going to sit here on this, you know, this conversation and say that he's done. I mean, that's up to, you know, the Giants and Eli to figure out if he's done or not. I've seen him play really well this year, and I've seen him kind of struggle. But I see all quarterbacks struggle when they get hit a bunch, especially early in games. And the Cowboys hit him a bunch this year, and it affected him. But it affects all quarterbacks. So, you know, I mean, I think it starts with protection and being able to run the ball consistently. Last time the Giants played against the Eagles, Saquon Barkley had 15 runs, 10 of them didn't gain a yard. So, you know, they have been very inconsistent in the run game. He can make splash plays because he's an elite talent, but they haven't been very good in the run game, and that always can be a quarterback's friend.
The thing, Brian, is, as Brian Baldinger joins us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline from NFL Network, is we're not a really good tackling team because we lost all our pro bowlers, and we're just decimated with injuries. So if Saquon Barkley underneath, if we're in a zone, that's a fear for Falcon fans, is him banging off and bouncing off of guys and breaking some big plays.
Well, I mean, look, it's an opportunity for a lot of these guys to earn a spot in the NFL that wouldn't normally be playing. And the best thing you can do to be noticed by Dan Quinn or Marco Emanuel is to make open field tackles. You know, be sure tacklers. I mean, that's the best thing if you want some longevity in this business. I mean, tackling is at an all-time worst in this league. So when I actually see good tackling, it catches my eye. When I see really good defense, defense that's played, you know, really fundamentally well, it catches your eye, and it catches all coaches' eyes. Not just the Falcons, but it catches the league's eyes as bad as the tackling is around the league. So if these guys want to make a name for themselves or, you know, create some longevity for themselves, Monday night in the spotlight would be a pretty good night to do it.
No doubt about it. Hey, Baldy, when you look at the NFC, I was talking about the Rams. They're 6-0. Are you buying the Rams and what they're showing us?
Well, I mean, they're a really good offense. And last week, Denver basically said, look, we're not going to let the deep passing game beat us. We'll give up the big runs to Todd Gurley. Not only did he just open up the gates and let him run, but they played their safeties back and they played their corners off. And, you know, at the end of the day, the Rams scored 23 points against them. And they sat Jared Goff a bunch and, you know, really kind of hurried him a bunch and he missed some throws. He had an off day. They threw the ball for 200 yards. So, I mean, when you play the Rams, you have to pick your poison. You can't. I don't believe that there's a defense. Now, the Falcons, when healthy last year, they defended that team as well as any team all season long. They manned them up on the outside. They stopped the running game. You know, that's the Falcons' defense of all. They held them to 13 points in that playoff game, and they won. I don't think there's a defense in the NFC right now that's capable of doing that.
That game last year was funny because we were making these open field tackles on Todd Gurley in the flat. It was just unbelievable. Brian Baldinger with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline. So, I mean, do you see the Eagles getting their house in order? Are they starting to turn the corner?
Well, they played really well in the last game against the Giants. It was the best. It was the most complete game of the year. It's really hard to find a fault with the way that they played. Now they're down to a couple of running backs, and so they've got to figure that position out. But the quarterback is getting really hot, and he's a really good player. He's very difficult to defend, especially on third downs. So if he continues to, you know, really come on after missing all the offseason and the end of the game season and the beginning of this season, if he keeps coming on, it looks like Alshon Jeffrey is almost indefensible. The tight ends are really good. But they have holes. I mean, they're playing a rookie at safety that's never played safety before. The corners haven't been particularly well, done well. And, you know, the pass rush hasn't been what it was a year ago. it's going to take them a little bit longer, I think, to try to figure this out. But I think they're still going to be, by the time you get to Thanksgiving, I think they're going to be a really good football team.
Yeah, it is interesting to see the progression of where that offense was. And we saw them to start the season, and now with Wentz in there. Speaking of quarterbacks, Kansas City seems to have found their guy in Pat Mahomes. How impressed are you with him?
Very. I'm very impressed. But I'm also very impressed with the way Andy Reid has coached him. Mm. He hasn't, you know, put any, you know, he hasn't curtailed him. He hasn't put a governor on his engine. He sits down with them after every series and reviews the plays and the calls and what he saw, what he likes, what he thinks he can do. I mean, I don't see enough coaches doing that with their quarterbacks in this league. And so he's got a lot of talent around him. And, look, he comes out of a Texas Tech system that had no defense, a lot like Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on most days in the Big 12, you know, he was trying to put up 50 points to have a chance to win. And on Saturdays when they played Oklahoma, he needed to put up 60. And so he's used to being that type of mentality of trying to score in every single drive. He's thrown two interceptions in each of the last two games, and it doesn't ruffle him at all. He comes right back the next series, and he throws strikes. So, you know, Andy Reid has always believed that you have to be a little bit like Larry Bird. You got to shoot to get hot, and you got to shoot to stay hot. And I think that's what he's allowing Patrick Mahomes to do.
Sure is fun to watch, man. That game was just unbelievable, and Tom Brady obviously got the last laugh on that one. Now the Patriots are rolling. Patriots, you know, they're getting more pieces on offense. I mean, their defense still giving up some points, but what do you make of New England?
Well, it was interesting. You know, they lost to Detroit, and they looked horrible doing it, and they felt they wanted to, and, you know, people were putting the fork in them and all that stuff, and they came back down in Miami against Miami, and they do what Bill Belichick always does when his offense struggles. They go into I formation. They don't fool you. They don't trick you. They knock you off the football. And they lined up, and they knocked the Dolphins all over the place, and Sony Michel got going. And ever since then, the running game has been really strong. Trent Brown has been an upgrade at left tackle over Nate Solder, especially in the run game. And they got the run game going, and they got the play-action pass going. They got Edelman back, and they got this Josh Gordon, who they look like they're really featuring a whole bunch right now. And so, to me, offensively, they look like, you know, they put up 43 points the other night, and they look like they could put up 30 or 40 on every week right now.
It's Brian Baldinger, guys, here on Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking some NFL with Brian. It's part of our NFL Blitz segment brought to you by Jim Ellis Kia of Kennesaw. And, you know, as you talk about these various teams around the league, the one team that I think, you know, has surprised a lot of people because – Chucky, all right, John Gruden,
oh,
comes back to the Raiders, and the first thing he talked about in the first couple of weeks is, oh, the pass rush. And we're going, you got rid of Khalil Mack. You could have signed him, and now they're 1-5. Right. Baldy, I'm watching this, and it looks like a train wreck right now.
Well, it's not good. I mean, they were terrible in London. They were without two starting offensive linemen, playing two rookies in there, and they look like rookies, and they got schooled by a team that's getting pretty good in Seattle right now. You know, slowly they're really kind of rounding into form, and they beat them up. I mean, they won the trenches on both sides of the ball, and Derek Carr doesn't have 1 ounce of confidence in anything he's doing right now. Mm. And, you know, if you saw Frank Clark destroy that offensive line the way that he did, one tackle, I mean, whether it was a run game or passing game, I mean, it'd be hard to play behind it right now. And they're really struggling. It's more than just Khalil Mack, although that hurt him. That certainly hurt him a bunch. But they had a couple, you know, they had a couple games that they could have won early. The Miami Dolphins game comes to mind, and they let it slip away, and they couldn't make the plays down the end. And now they're, you know, really a world of hurt right now. And I'm not sure. I mean, you know, John Gruden wanted to come back and represent the Raiders and the silver and black and all that kind of stuff. Well, I mean, he's going to have to do his best coaching job to kind of get this team to rebound right now, because they look like a shot fighter 6 weeks into the season, and there's a lot of football to be played.
Right. You know, we saw the Steelers, as Brian Baldinger joins us, and we saw them a week ago. They seem like they got it together, but they've got, you know, the Le'Veon Bell soap opera. I mean, do you buy those guys to compete for the AFC Championship? I mean, it's always been them and the Patriots one way or the other, but last year Jacksonville got their number, and now there's a lot of drama.
Well, I'm not buying into the drama. I mean, James Conner is our starting running back. I mean, if you just look at him statistically in every category, he's better than Le'Veon Bell was last year without any drama. I mean, he's just a great kid, and he's a Pitt guy. You know, he went to Pitt. He practiced right there at the facility. I mean, he wears that silver, you know, that black and gold pretty good now. you know, he's got 7 touchdowns already. He scored 2 last week, I mean, in all phases of the game right now, he's a heck of a player. Now, I know Levy and his schedule come back. I don't know. Nobody knows what kind of shape he's in and what kind of attitude he's going to have. But, I mean, they found a way to beat the Falcons. They're not a great defense yet, but they're playing a lot of young guys, Tyler Matakevich and T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree. And, you know, these guys just got to keep playing. And I think by the time you get to, you know, Thanksgiving, I think the Steelers are going to be a pretty good football team.
Baldy, it's always a pleasure having you on, man. You do such a great job of breaking things down, and continued success there at NFL Network. We appreciate you, and we will talk soon.
My pleasure, guys.
Good stuff.
You got it, man. Brian Baldinger, catch him. He's got blogs and breakdowns and stuff. We all started the conversation talking about the great job that Tevin Coleman did in pass protection, lighting up Levante David, not just protecting Matt Ryan. And we'll see. Now, the Le'Veon Bell thing is interesting because what do you do? I mean, how do you treat him? How will the players respond? That's what I meant by drama. But, yeah, they don't really need him right now statistically, but Le'Veon Bell's better than James Conner.
I agree, man. Hey, we're going to give you a chance to win some money. Before we do, a reminder, join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at the 12th Annual Brian Jordan Celebrity Golf Weekend. It's October 28th through the 29th at Chateau Alain. And, guys, it's a great time. You can have a chance to play with sports celebrities, including the great Ozzie Smith, Terrence Mathis, Sterling Sharp, Reggie Sanders, and many more. Don't miss out on this once-in-a-lifetime experience. Golf spots are limited, so you've got to reserve yours today at Brian Jordan, the BrianJordanFoundation.com. That's where you need to go, BrianJordanFoundation.com. Craig, let's give him a chance to win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Really? Ballerina? I'm sorry. That's
somebody at corporate is pulling our chain.
That's the code word. I'm just looking at Bo, making sure.
How many L's? How many L's? Two L's?
Yeah, two L's. B-A-L-L-E-R-I-N-A.
Ballerina.
No. I just want to make sure.
I'm from my buddy down in Noonan. So that'd be Ballerina, if you're going to spell it phonetically out there on your
or
text.
Ina.
Well, I mean, just want to make sure he gets it right. I know that guy does maintenance in my building. He's like, yeah, you keep cracking wires on Noonan. Want to make sure he's getting it.
Ballerina, guys, 72881 is the number you text it to. You take the word, you text it to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. By the way, did you see that? Somebody won $1 million in Macon with the Mega Millions last night?
Really?
Yeah, somebody in Macon won $1 million.
$900 million, right?
$900 million.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
Damn, Gina. Hey, man, Ballerina, for your smaller piece of the action, $1,000 to 72881.
All right, where do you want the Braves to spend the money? We will discuss next. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Wednesday. It's hump day. Trying to get you to the weekend. We got to wait till Monday night to see these Falcons play. Georgia's off this week, along with Georgia Tech, ironically. But next Saturday, man, it's going to be big. Coming up at 4, we're going to talk about what Kirby Smart had to say. It's not Dukes and Bell. What Kirby had to say about Justin Fields and potentially expanding his role. It's interesting to me, Mike. We had this big conversation yesterday about it. Some fans are tired of hearing about it. But it's something that, you know, is still out there. And I think, as we said, it's got to resolve itself one way or the other if you find yourself in this situation again.
And I'm not trying to compare. Well, I guess you can't avoid the comparison of what happened at Clemson. But I think people expected Kelly Bryant. He got them into the semifinal game. But there was such an interest that Trevor Lawrence was so good he was going to find his way on the field. And eventually he ends up taking the job. And you know where that went. And I don't know if Kirby wants to avoid that kind of – because, look, no one's going to make Kirby do anything. All the media, all the fans, all the blogs. That's
not
going to make him – no.
Not us.
No, it's not like it's going to get a momentum of its own to make Fields the QB. But the guy was and is an exciting talent that everybody in the country wanted. So why you got him on ice? You know, why are you bringing him out for some jerky design plays where everybody in the country knows he's going to run the ball? That's the rub on this situation.
Yeah, we'll get more into it in the 4 o'clock hour, but we'll let you hear from Coach, man. And I think, again, it's just interesting that he said some of the things he said yesterday. All right, what is Alex Anthopoulos saying? Our Braves are certainly out of the playoffs. We're watching the ALCS and the NLCS right now. Don't know how that's going to play out, but what we do know is that Alex Anthopoulos, our general manager, has said that they will increase the payroll, okay? So that's number one. We've said this, and Mike and I, you guys know, after the season we said, okay, Liberty Media, are you willing to spend the money? The general manager is saying we will increase the payroll. Where are they going to increase the payroll? And by how much are they going to increase the payroll? Now, when you start talking about guys that are going to be arbitration eligible, those numbers are going to go up, but it's not going to impact your salary to a point where you're not going to be able to do anything, okay? Right. If you're telling me a guy that was making $7 million, he's arbitration eligible, now he's making $10, great. But that's just an example. It's not going to hamper you from going out and signing, Mike, other guys. So I asked today about this whole Bryce Harper thing because the other thing that Alex said is that, Mike, they are open to the idea of looking at free agency, all of these guys, they didn't mention names because, you know, it's not that time or place. But the idea of going out and maybe acquiring a guy like Bryce Harper and getting in the mix, they're not against it. So for me, that's ding, 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 ding. You're willing to spend money and you are willing to get in the mix potentially with some of these big-time free agents. But where's the most pressing need? Because that's what a lot of guys are saying. I don't want Bryce. I want pitching. I want Bryce. I don't care about anything else.
Well, the pitching is so expensive. You know, for a guy who's going to pitch every fifth day to throw out the kind of money, when you look at it, I mean, remember how there was kind of like that embargo on pitchers where nobody got their deals till late? Like, who was it? Jake Arrieta got his deal with the Phillies. I mean, you know, you're going to pay a guy $25 million a year. He's only pitching every fifth day. And I'd rather give that to a power-hitting outfielder. I mean, look. I know a lot of people say it's just way too pie in the sky. For those who are not familiar with that phrase, it means like it's never going to happen because if there was pie in the sky, I'd join the airborne. But no, the thing, Carl, is you got a guy in Bryce Harper who fits exactly what you need. He's a perfect fit. And again, the Freddie Freeman friendship aside, you know, the guy just fits everything we need. Power hitter. How many home runs would he hit on that short porch at Wright?
40.
You might have to wear a helmet, guys, when you're hitting it, sitting out of the chop house drinking a Coors Light. So that makes sense. Now, let me ask you about Manny Machado. Antics in this NLCS aside, guy hits 35 home runs a year. He's a .282 hitter. He's better than Dansby. But are you satisfied with what Dansby is? Is Dansby's lot in life to be a .245 hitter who's and he's, you know, on the cusp of Gold Glove, and that's okay for you?
Here's my theory on this, and, you know, we won't know until we see the adjustments with our baseball team. You can hit us up, guys, 404-741-0929 on the Salomon Brothers Diamond text line.
And we're starting at the top. There's other guys. We'll get to the nuts and bolts, but these are the two biggest names
they
out
are.
There for us.
But Mike, if you put another bat in this lineup, okay, my theory, Dansby can hit .250. As long as his glove continues to be what it is, but you have another power, you know, a batter or another power bat in this lineup, I don't think that's as big of a deal as it is being great up the middle.
Right.
Okay? We're talking about shortstop, second baseman, center field, catcher. Now, I think they're going to bring back Suzuki. That's just my thought because he's going to be a lot less expensive than some of the guys that might be out there.
Right.
But that's what I believe, that if you are willing to live with Dansby at .250 or .255, but his glove, his gold glove every year, you put another power bat in there, it changes the dynamics of our lineup. So that is the difference. If you don't do that, then you're expecting more from Dansby's bat, and now we're thinking he should hit .275, and he's not, and we're going, he's having a bad season, when in fact, I don't think it's just about that. I think his defense to us is more important, believe it or not. Dansby's going to have his spots and moments. But that's where I'm at with getting a guy like Bryce Harper.
And those are the dudes that we'd be interested in because they're 26 years of age. Just, I mean, just starting with, you know, what makes sense for your future? You know, because you've got this young nucleus of stars, and now you got a guy we talked about. You put Bryce Harper in that lineup, there's really not a weak spot. Dansby would be the weak spot in the lineup, you know. And as you said, by virtue of where you could move him around, you could actually help him, you know, see better pitches, et cetera, and maybe do a better job. Because everybody else, then you get into, like, pitching. Well, I'm ranking all the top pitchers. For instance, Dallas Keuchel.
Okay.
With the Astros right now, 31 years of age. I would imagine a Jake Arrieta, that'd be at least a $20 to $25 million a year contract.
No doubt.
Or would you just rather say, look, I'll take my lumps with my rookies, with my young guys, with Tukey, with Newcomb, Fulte's the ace, Gosman's there for stability, Anibal Sanchez probably gone. But I mean, or would you want to invest in pitching? Because it ain't going to be cheap.
Here's the deal with pitching, I believe, is, you know, and you're looking at these guys. You mentioned Patrick Corbin, 29.
With the D-backs.
Yeah, Keuchel, 31. Kershaw, 31. If you wanted to go, he can opt out of 2 years and $65 million remaining on his contract. I don't know why you would, but he could. Jay Happ, 36 years old. Mike, if you go out and get a frontline starter, all right, you believe that that's where we are, and I don't think we're there yet. I think you go and see what these young arms can do, to your point. Invest the money in the bullpen and go get another power bat. That, to me, changes your team, and especially with what we've seen this year and over the last couple of years with the way the bullpens are being used. Guys, the Astros pulled their starter yesterday after 5 innings.
Right.
A lot of people are blaming the manager on that loss to the Red Sox because managers now have the tendency to go to the bullpen way earlier than what we've seen in years past. So I'm just saying, strengthen the bullpen, go get a power bat. I don't necessarily see any of these guys. CeCe Sabathia is 38. I don't see any of these guys that come in right now and you go, yes, he's my game one starter versus developing the young talent
but
we have.
These are the names of like the top 10 guys. And then again, if you want to get into the nuts and bolts of it, there'll be other pitchers. Guys that are like 500 journeymen, if you want to try to boost it. One thing for sure, we got to get one or two, you know, a lefty and a righty, right? One from either side,
right,
to step up. You know, I mean, you want to bring
Bartolo Colon's out there. he's 46, hey, allegedly.
Man. You know what? After his whatever was going on here in Atlanta, other than that great bobblehead, remember the old joke was, will he make it to his bobblehead night? Didn't he win a few games for the Rangers?
Yeah, he did. He won a few. Listen, Bartolo was good for two starts. We saw that in April.
Yeah, I was at the game where he had like a two-hitter go, and I was like, oh, my God, Bartolo's on fire. And then he was just a hot mess.
All right, wait, let me ask you this. Matt Harvey. Harvey's 30. I'm just saying.
All right, like, if my mother, you know what my mother would say? Oh, that Matt Harvey's a phony. Dark Knight. Stealing money. Bum. That's my mom's words, not mine. She watches every Mets game. And, of course, like, he went to the Reds because they're just trying to dump him at that point. He's never won more than 13 games in a season.
That's the problem. See, this is where we're going.
I know this because I got my mom, but I don't have to look that up. My mom tells me every time talk about the Mets.
But, Mike, you hear these names, right?
Yeah.
As baseball fans and guys that follow a game, you go, oh, he'd help the Braves. No, he wouldn't. I'd rather roll the dice with Tookie. Tookie time.
Look, let's just, right now, Faulty, you're number one. Newcomb, two. Let's just say, for argument's sake, Gosman 3, Tukey. What about Soroka if he comes back from that show? Soroka is supposed to be a guy that's going to be one of the future starters on this team.
Don't leave out Max Fried. I know you don't necessarily care for him.
Fried's okay, yeah, too.
But I'm just saying, you've got arms. That's where we're at, guys. Where are you? 404-741-0929. Follow us on Twitter. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes in the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929.
But the one move, and boy, I mean, all the time people say, oh, boy, Liberty Media throwing nickels around like manhole covers. Man, if they got Bryce Harper, holy moly. By the way, Squidbilly told me last week that Bryce Harper batted over 300 after the All-Star break.
He did.
So despite that, it averaged out to around 250 and change, but he was certainly a guy that hit more home runs in the second half as well.
And if I'm Harper, here's the other part, because I know guys are like, it's going to cost $500 million. If I'm Bryce Harper, think about this. I take a short deal. I'm 26, 3 years. Give me $250 million, whatever. And at 29, I'm back at the contract table, okay, for another $200 million. That's what I'm doing if I'm Bryce Harper. I'm not taking a seven-year deal, Mike.
You can ask for $50 million over 10, $500 million.
Where all of a sudden, but the market every year changes.
Right.
So when Bryce Harper's 30, see, remember when the Braves signed Freddie Freeman and everybody said, $20 million for Freddie Freeman? It's a steal.
Right.
It's a steal right now. So when Harper turns 31, his whole thing is, what's the market going to be? If you're still a relevant player, I'm taking a shorter deal. So I don't know if it's going to be $500 million for Bryce Harper.
Right.
I just don't.
And by the way, we trust Alex Anthopoulos, especially after what he did at the trade deadline, to go find, maybe you can find another veteran. You find another Anibal Sanchez type guy.
Right.
A veteran who can eat some innings for you next year while the other young guys continue to develop. And if the Braves are doing what they're doing next year, what they did this year, you could always try to, again, make a move at the trade deadline to punch up the pitching.
It's going to be interesting offseason, guys. Mike and I will be talking plenty about it. Winter meetings coming up. A lot of these deals get done there when you talk about significant trades. And then, obviously, as we get ready to head back to spring training. But this, to me, Mike, after this season, could be one of the most significant Braves offseasons to spring your team to continue to move forward.
The good news is you're still beating up on one of the worst divisions in baseball. I mean, you think the Phillies are going to – no, don't forget, the Phillies are going to make some moves, too.
They are.
Because they had a taste, and obviously they faded. Nationals, I don't think nobody believes in them at this point.
And if they lose Harper, right. If they do, I mean, that's a big blow. Hey, man, coming up, we're going to talk to Mike Conte. He is in New York tonight for Steve Holman's 2500. That's consecutive broadcast for Steve Holman. And so Conte is going to join us to talk about the Five Stripes. We'll also ask him about the Hawks as well.
Five Stripes preview.
And it's punched in for a goal.
With Atlanta United announcer Mike Conte. Brought to you by Associated Credit Union. The way banking should be.
All right, let's head to New York City. Yeah, that's where our man Mike Conte is. And before we get into some of this Five Stripes stuff, how was the flight up? What's it like in the city today, man?
You know, it's always great to reconnect with the warm and hospitable people of New York City, Carl. There's nothing quite like it.
I understand. All right, that kind of day. So Mike Conte is there, by the way, for those who don't know. Explain why you are in New York today.
Well, we got a Hawks game tonight coming up at 7 o'clock on Sports Radio 92.9. The game just a few blocks south of where I am right now. Hawks and the Knicks. NBA season opener for both teams. But more importantly, if you're listening to this radio station or if you've listened to our Hawks broadcast over the last couple of years, Steve Holman, our buddy, is doing his 2,500th consecutive Hawks broadcast tonight, which is a real testament to his commitment to his craft and I know it's something he's very, very proud of, and we're proud of it, too, at 92.9 The Game. So we're going to have a very special pregame show tonight at 7 o'clock to kind of mark that, and then we'll get into what I think will be a pretty entertaining basketball game tonight.
All right, guys, let's talk to Mike about our five stripes. And, you know, first and foremost, a lot of rumors out there, and we talked to Carlos Bocanegra about it, and I've asked you this before. I'll ask it again because we've got two matches left, and then we're in the playoffs, and who knows what's going to take place. But does any of this stuff, do you think, is getting back to the players, and does it or will it affect them at all moving forward?
You know, I don't know if it's getting back to them, but I know for a fact, for 100% certainty, it's not going to affect them because this is just typical soccer. This is typical of the international sport news cycle. And whether you're playing in MLS or the English Premier League or La Liga or League One or wherever, this is what happens, especially as these transfer windows are closed and start to open again. You get rumors. You get unsubstantiated rumors. You get reports attributed to fictitious people. And, you know, words just kind of goes round and round and round. And, you know, I think players are kind of aware of what's out there, and they just kind of play through it because they're used to it. It happens all the time. It happens every year. I mean, certainly there's a lot more smoke behind the Tata rumors now, but yeah, I haven't heard anything officially from the club. We've already, I think, a couple times assumed that he's gone to Argentina or Paraguay or whatever, and those reports turn out false. So I guess all I would say is don't believe anything until you hear it directly from the person himself. And right now, Tata Martino is still the manager. Miguel Almiron still plays for Atlanta United. And you're right, Carl. You've got two games left where you can go out and win Supporters Shield. So these are very important games.
It's Mike Conte, guys, live from NYC, getting ready for the Hawks tonight. But we're talking soccer. Who is the fine financial institution that sponsors this segment?
I'm glad you asked, Mike. It's Associated Credit Union, the way banking should be.
That's right. Now, here's the thing. As far as Tata, I guess, you know, we're maybe trying to get our heads around one way or the other that these guys are all gypsies that coach at the high level. Remember, Darren Eales and Carlos Bocanegra, they wanted a style of soccer and then fit a coach to it. And presumably they can find another coach, whether it comes from South America or wherever, that employs our attacking style. So I think sometimes United fans are fretting over. First things first, as Mike said, let's just go on and handle our business here and close out this regular season.
Yeah, I mean, two things. First of all, I mean, if you're in the mindset where you want to dwell on all these reports and rumors, you're going to be miserable every year as an Atlanta United fan because rumors like this are going to occur every year, whether you root for Atlanta United or Arsenal or Chelsea or Milan or PSG or whatever. I mean, rumors are just a part of the sport. It's kind of like being a college football fan. You got a hotshot junior who may enter the NFL draft early. You know, you're going to go through those rumors as the season persists. Just sit back and enjoy it. And the second part of that, Mike, is, look, I don't know how this is going to end with Tata. I hope he stays, but I don't know how it's going to end. The one thing I do know is that if he does leave, Atlanta United's going to bring in a great manager. This has become a destination job now for managers all over the world. And I know, you know, when the David Moyes report came out, I think a lot of people kind of cringed about that, but I think that's an indication. There wasn't really a lot of truth behind it. It might have just been his agent trying to get something started in the American papers. But the fact that a manager who has done what David Moyes has done has expressed interest in Atlanta United, I think speaks to how sought after this position would be. And I think Darren and Carlos are going to be able, with Arthur Blank's support, to go out and find an extremely good manager to run this club in the future if it's not Tata. I also believe they're doing everything in their power to keep Tata. So one way or another, this club's going to be in very good hands. I don't worry about that in the least.
Does it concern you that Chicago has already been eliminated and really they come into this match you know, with no pressure on them and can play spoiler a little bit to our Atlanta United?
Yeah, Chicago's weird, and in anticipation of this segment, I was starting to look at my notes a little bit on Chicago Fire, and they seem to be one of those clubs this year in MLS where you look at their talent, you look at the way they play, and you wonder, how are these guys so bad? And they've got some really good players, Nemanja Nikolic and Bastian Schweinsteiger and Alexander Katainen. They have very good players. They play that high-pressing style that gives Atlanta United a lot of problems, same style that the Red Bulls play. They aren't as good as Red Bulls, but they play a style that will make Atlanta United uncomfortable. Yes, they are eliminated, but they are in position to be a spoiler. And Atlanta United has had trouble with Chicago Fire this year. A road match out there in May, they only won 2-1. U.S. Open Cup in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in June, they lost to Chicago Fire. And it wasn't really a first-choice lineup that day for Atlanta United, but I think you're looking at the possibility. Almiron's not going to play on Sunday. Villalba apparently got hurt in Paraguay. Don't know a whole lot about that, but he might not be able to play. So you're going to be shorthanded. You're going up against a club that has absolutely nothing to lose and probably embraces the role of being the spoiler. It's going to be tough.
Mike Conte's with us here, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline up in New York, previewing the Five Stripes. Again, at home, it's going to be capacity 70,000-plus at Mercedes-Benz on Sunday afternoon. And here's the thing. We spoke with Carlos Bocanegra yesterday, Mike, and I asked him about, you know, what would your starting 18 or your 18 you're going to carry into the playoffs look like. He said age is really not an issue. And George Bello, by the way, scores for the under-17 squad over in England against Russia. So we got a young guys. We get Garza back. So even though the front line is damaged, in the middle and the back, we got some studs.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting you bring that Bello point up because he did play this week. I wonder if Tata might be a little bit cautious about starting him against Chicago Fire. It sounds like Garza is back training. If he's training, that probably means he's able to play. So I think he could be in the mix to maybe even get a start on Sunday. Chris McCann will be in that mix as well. You could really, really jumble up the formation if Almiron and Villalba are both out. You could have Barco at the number 10. A lot of different possibilities right now for Atlanta United. But you're right, Mike. It'll be a real advertisement of their depth. And this is why I feel good about Atlanta United going into the postseason. You know, whomever they end up playing in the conference semifinals, whether it be Philadelphia or Columbus or even New York City,
right,
they don't have the kind of depth that Atlanta United has. And when you play a lot of games in quick succession, as you will in the postseason, that depth is really going to help Atlanta United.
Mike Conte joining us from New York City. And, guys, of course, this segment, again, about the Five Stripes. It's a Five Stripes preview. But I do want to ask you about the Hawks as we let you go. Expectations for not only the team, we've been talking about over-under, and I don't want to get into that with you, but I do want to talk about what you expect to see from this young Hawks team.
I think they'll be fun. I think they'll be a really fun group to be around, which you probably could not say about the last couple years with the Hawks. I think a lot of that has to do with Lloyd Pierce, who I think is approaching this with extremely realistic expectations for what the Hawks are going through right now. But Pierce is a really good player development guy. That makes me feel good. I think what I'm most anxious to see this year is what kind of step does John Collins take from year one to year two? And I know he's not going to play for at least the first week of the season, but what kind of step are we going to see from him? What's the growth of Trae Young going to look like? And then I think there's some intrigue in how much Vince Carter is going to be able to give you. Vince Carter is starting tonight. With the starting power forwards in this game tonight, guys, are Vince Carter and Mario Hezonja, which is probably not exactly how the NBA designed a season opening night at Madison Square Garden. But, you know, if Vince can give you anything for the first couple weeks, months of the season, I think the Hawks are going to be competitive. They're going to be in a lot of games. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch. I really, really feel strongly about that.
Good stuff, Mike Conte. Enjoy tonight's tip-off right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pre-game at 7 and a 7:30 tip for our Atlanta Hawks. Conte, be safe. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you back in Atlanta tomorrow.
Sounds good. Hey, guys, coming up, we're going to talk about the Dogs and what Kirby Smart had to say about the expanded role of Justin Fields. That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.